Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for subscribing to the latest edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Man, check this out. The question that I have for you on this episode is, where were you when it happened? If you've been listening and following the podcast, you know that from time to time, I like to reminisce and I like to talk about things that have happened in the past because, you know, life is life. And I think sometimes a lot of stuff is made for good stories. But what I want to do on this episode is just pick out some historical events that happened, some good, some bad, some sad, some happy, and just kind of talk about it and just tell you, like, where were you, or at least where I was when it happened. And, you know, kind of throw out the challenge to you to talk about, you know, where you were when these things may have happened. And for some of you, a few of you, maybe you weren't around when it happened. And for that, this could be somewhat of a history lesson, if you will. Because a lot of times I think we speak, particularly those of us who are, you know, content creators, and we speak in such a tone that, you know, we kind of assume that everybody was around or was outside when it happened. And truth be told, everybody wasn't outside. So, you know, what I wanted to do is just kind of kick back and reminisce a little bit on this one. I think it goes without saying that, you know, we have, if you've lived some experiences, you understand how life goes, and you understand that, again, good things and bad things will happen. But, you know, we were able, at least those who were in my age group, we were able to see some historical things, both good and bad, both good and bad. And on this episode, what I want to do is just kind of tell you where I was when certain things happened and give you my historical perspective on it. So let's go back. Let's see. The Space Shuttle Challenger explosion. It happened January of 1986. Oh man, I remember that quite vividly. I was at Williams Middle School. I was in the seventh grade, and we had just sat down in English class, and we actually watched it on TV live. And here's the cool thing. And if you remember this era, you didn't have a TV in your classroom, right? So somebody had to go to the media center, get the TV, and they had to roll the TV out on the little roller thing. So they rolled the TV in the classroom. And, you know, there had been obviously, you know, space ventures or ventures into space, if you will. This one was a little bit different, and it hit home a little bit for us because, on the Space Shuttle Challenger, one of the astronauts that was going into space was a guy by the name of Ronald McNair. Ronald McNair was not only a black man, but he was from a little small town called Lake City, South Carolina. And Lake City is about maybe 20, 25 miles away from my hometown of Florence, South Carolina. If you're looking on YouTube, you can see that I'm donning my t-shirt that says Made in Florence, South Carolina. And so, you know, so there's a level of pride there. There's a level of intrigue. There's a level of happiness going on with that because, you know, we had studied about and heard about Ron McNair. And Ron McNair was a graduate and an alum of North Carolina A&T University and HBCU. Shout out to the Aggies. And so, you know, there was a vested interest in it because, again, he was a guy from around the way. And so we're sitting down and I'd seen a couple of space shuttles, you know, go up and everything like that. And I'll put it like this. Because obviously I wasn't old enough to be around to see a man walk on the moon. But the space program in the United States at this particular time, and this is 86. It was a thing, and it was must-see TV. Like, we would literally watch the space shuttle go up, and we'd watch it come down when they returned back to Earth or what have you. So this was the thing. Again, our class, I can't remember my teacher's name. It's my English teacher. I can't remember her name. I'll probably think of it once this podcast is over. And we're sitting there, we're watching it, and then it goes up, and, you know, we're watching it. And again, this is because I think there were, what, 7 or 8 members on board, I think. I can't remember the names of the other night, and I didn't bother to look it up, but I do know Ronald McNair was on there. And again, he's from Lake City, South Carolina. And so Space Shuttle goes up, and we're watching. And then all of a sudden, the unthinkable happens. The Space Shuttle explodes. And I mean, like, it literally explodes. And for those of you who, if you've never seen it before, you can, you know, I'll include a link to it in the description. It exploded. And so, like, I'll be honest, like, we didn't know that it exploded. Because what happens is there's, like, the way the space shuttle is, it's kind of attached to, you have the actual shuttle, and then it's attached to 3 major, I guess, rockets, if you will. And what happens is it goes up, it gets to a certain part of the stratosphere, and then it's supposed to break off from each of the 3 rockets, and the rockets are to fall back to Earth, and they fall in the ocean, I guess, because they launch from Cape Canaveral, Florida. And as they were supposed to separate, there was a malfunction, and it actually exploded. And it exploded, but the way, when you watch it, you really couldn't tell, because this was around the time where they normally would separate. So at initial glance, we didn't know that it had exploded. All we saw was that we saw smoke, and then the camera kind of pans over, and then the camera starts showing the crowd, which is even crazier, because there's a crowd there, people, and nobody knows what's going on. Like, none of us know what's going on. And I mean, like, we literally sat there and watched it. And I want to say maybe 30 seconds, because at this point, the TV broadcast isn't saying anything. And then they say, well, something has gone horribly wrong. And we're still looking at the smoke, and and the camera now focuses on a couple of objects that appear to be falling to Earth. So I'm under the assumption that that's the space shuttle. I'm assuming that, you know, like, it's like the movies, they're going to parachute out, whatever, whatever. Not the case. And so, like, after about 45 seconds, somebody says, it exploded and everybody's dead. Wow. And that's when it kind of hit us, like, are you serious? Like, and we looked at our teacher, and she was in tears. I mean, like, I don't know if she knew immediately what happened. I mean, like, it really took a second for us to realize what exactly was, because what you were seeing wasn't what we were used to, but the unthinkable had happened. And then they, you know, started saying, well, maybe, and they were saying this over the broadcast, well, we're not sure what happened. Maybe the astronauts got out or something like that. I mean, they're trying to put a positive spin on it. Meanwhile, we're looking at this stuff, this debris falling back to Earth, and the astronauts ain't in it. You know, they were literally disintegrated. And so, like, that was a crazy moment, man, crazy moment. And I just remember we wanted to sit there and watch more to find out where, and we watched it for probably about 20 minutes, mostly in silence. There was a couple of kids that started crying. And again, we're in the 7th grade. It didn't bother me to the point where I was crying, but I was definitely sad. I was like, wow, it's unthinkable. But yeah, 1986, I remember that vividly. Let's see, what other historic event? Oh, hey, the greatest of all time, my man, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, won his first NBA title June of 1991. I remember that vividly because that final series, which was his first of 6 final series, not only was Jordan the MVP, but Game 3 was played on the day that I graduated from high school at Wilson High School in Florence, South Carolina. June 7th, 1991. And it was game three that day in Los Angeles. They beat the LA Lakers. I want to say it was four games to one. But I mean, Jordan was incredible. Seeing Jordan, who's my favorite player at the time, you know, rise above the occasion. He played against Magic Johnson, one of the greatest players to ever play the game. And Jordan got his first of six rings and, you know, what would be the start to his legacy as the greatest of all time. And Jordan's first title, I mean, like, if you're an NBA fan, you remember that. I mean, he was just, you remember him, you know, being emotional. You remember him being in the locker room with his mom, his dad, and his wife, and just that whole series, man. I mean, like, it just really felt like Jordan had gotten over the hump after they smoked the Detroit Pistons 4-0, and those cowards walked off the floor before they would even shake their hands as they got swept in game four. But I digress. So that was a memory. Where were you when the LA riots broke out? If you follow the podcast, I did an episode on it a couple of years ago. The LA riots, April of 1992. Wow, man, listen, it was crazy. I think 50 to 60 people died, and there was like over $1 billion in damages. If you're not familiar with the LA riots, motorists by the name of Rodney King had been beaten by four or five police officers the year before, and they saw fit that, well, what happened was, not only was Rodney King a victim of police brutality, but his brutal beating was videotaped, and the videotape made its way to the news media and was broadcast everywhere across the country. So as someone black, we knew that, hey, police brutality wasn't a new thing to us, but now all of a sudden we have it on tape. And so the sentiment was that there was no way that these officers were going to get off with beating this unarmed black man. Wrong. so wrong. Four officers were acquitted of, I guess, violating the civil rights. I can't even remember what it was, but battery. They beat all the charges. And after that, the LA riots started. And I chronicle it in the in the podcast episode. Go back and check it out. But I remember that vividly because I was in college at South Carolina State University. And I remember that vividly because, you know, Cass was mad. I mean, like, we were really, really pissed off. And I remember a couple of people who I played football with who shall remain nameless. They said, hey, man, we should, you know, because at this point in time, after like the first day when the riots happened, you know, again, people were upset and they wanted to vent their frustrations, I guess. And so there were some guys who said, hey, let's go break it. Let's go test some shit up. I wasn't down with that program because, listen, I ain't going to jail for nobody. I understood the sentiment, but, you know, really, I think at least for us, given the fact that we were in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and not in South Central LA, I think it was a situation where it was some kids who wanted to just cause some ruckus. They wasn't doing it for the cause. Shout out to Baylor. My brother BTG, BTG for President is the name of his podcast. He tells a hilarious story about, he has several stories about the LA riots. I'm sure Uncle Dolomite from the Too Much Game podcast has some stories as well, even though they were younger. But yeah, you can ask any LA resident. They have several stories about, you know, stuff that got stolen, stuff that happened, people that, you know, got busy during the riots. But I'll never forget that. Never, ever forget it. And I thought, like I said, it was something that after seeing Rodney King get beat, we just knew that it was going to result in, you know, those cops finally going to jail. We were finally going to have police, you know, who were guilty of, battery and, you know, just beating an unarmed black motorists, something that we had heard about and quite a few of us have actually seen and felt, only to see them get off. And like I said, all hell broke loose, and then not just in LA, but all across, but LA was, it was a powder keg, and the Rodney King verdict, set it off. So the LA riots of 1992, where were you when that happened? I remember where I was, like I said, vividly. Speaking of LA, and I did a podcast on this one as well. 1995, I think it was June of 95. Orenthal James Simpson, better known as OJ Simpson, was wanted for the, or he was in, being investigated for the murder of his former ex-wife and her friend, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, respectively. And OJ came in for, or he was supposed to come in for questioning, but OJ decided not to. And he jumped into his white Bronco. The Bronco was driven by his best friend, Al Collins, AKA AC. And they were subsequently spotted on the freeway and was followed. And it was, it became what was known as the OJ chase. I remember this vividly because I can tell you exactly where I was. I was at home that summer from college. Again, it was June of 95. I was actually watching the NBA finals. It was the finals between the Houston Rockets and the New York Knicks. And the OJ chase preempted the coverage of the game because the word that we got was that OJ was in the car. He was being chased by the police and he had a gun to his head. And so nobody knew how this thing was going to play out. Nobody knew if he was going to make it, if he's going to kill himself. Nobody knew if he was actually guilty or not. But I'll never forget that. I don't think anybody, and I'm always interested to hear residents of California, Southern California at the time, who were there. There were people who, you know, lined up on bridges and were waving, saying, go OJ. And then other people were like, get his ass. It was crazy. And again, this is before social media. So everything that we saw played out on TV in real time. And now, you know what, to be honest, let me break for a second. That was, I think, also the beauty of those times in these events that I'm naming is that there was no social media. So there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, no nothing. So in a lot of ways, you tuned into the news to get it in real time. Other than that, if you weren't watching CNN, you didn't have any ideas to what was happening or how fast it was happening or anything. Another historical event. Let's see the next one. Summer of 1996, the place, Atlanta, Georgia, the event, the Summer Olympics, more specifically, the lighting of the Olympic torch. The Olympic torch was lit by none other than the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. Now, for a lot of people, it was different because Muhammad Ali was at the time, again, this is 1996, so he is suffering from Parkinson's disease. I don't know if Ali had, if he had a trait or something like that in his family or what have you, but I'm almost certain that much of his Parkinson's disease was brought on from the years and years of him being a boxer, world champion boxer, and the hits that he would take in the boxing ring. So with Parkinson's disease, it caused you to shake like uncontrollably. You couldn't, at times, you could not control the shaking. And so as he lights the fire for the Olympic Games in 1996 here in Atlanta, it's bittersweet because for me, I am a huge Muhammad Ali fan. I mean, Muhammad Ali was the first athlete like that I really just like fell in love with. Like, that's my guy. You know what I mean? And to be honest, by the time I caught Ali, Ali was on the downside of his career, but I mean, he was still always outspoken, always well-spoken, always, you know, just being Ali. And it was interesting to see him up there because, you know, one, I was kind of fearful because like he was shaking and I didn't know how close he was to the fire. It from the angle that we see it, it looks like he could have fallen in, but I mean, of course, but he's up there by himself, right? So, but at that time I was still in college, about to graduate. I was in summer school that summer and watching the Summer Olympics, man, seeing Ali, that, again, that's my guy. So even though he had Parkinson's, he fought through that, and to see him up there, man, it was a heartwarming moment for me because again, I'm a fan, right? What other historical event? Obviously, be remiss if I did not talk about the probably one of the biggest historical events that happened in my lifetime, and that was September 11th, 2001. Where were you September 11th? Where was I? I was at home. I was preparing to go to work, and I'll never forget it, man. My homie, Juan lived in the Bronx, and he called me. And I answered the phone. I just dropped Dion off at school, our oldest son. And he was a toddler. I dropped Dion. And at this particular time, we only had Dion. So we didn't even have Cameron yet. And so I dropped Dion off and I came back to the house to get myself ready for work. And Juan called me. He's like, yo, he's like, a plane hit the towers. I was like, what towers? He was like, the World Trade Center. I was like, well, where? He's like, yeah. He said, the plane is stuck in the World Trade Center. He's like, turn on the news. So I'm thinking, the first thought that comes to my head, some small little plane, you know, flying around Manhattan, I guess. But I also know that that's very much a restricted airspace, too. I mean, I know you have helicopters, but that's what I'm thinking. So I turn the TV on and I just see the World Trade Center, and you just see, I don't see a plane. I'm expecting to see a plane like stuck into the side of the building or whatever, but I don't see a plane, and I just see, you know, the smoke and everything, and you know, they're talking about it or whatever like that. And so Juan and I, we're talking, obviously Juan is, he's in the Bronx, so he's closer to it. So it's like, you know, on a clear day, he could see the World Trade Center, you know? So, it was just weird, you know, seeing it on TV, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And so they're talking about it. And they're like, well, we don't know. We just know that a plane has, you know, hit this building or what have you. And we hope that, you know, everybody's okay, so forth and so on. So they're reporting it. And as they're reporting it, you see something flying in the background. And I honestly, it was so far away, it kind of looked like a fly. And then you see the thing turn. And then at the turn, you realize it's a plane. But you just see it in the background. You're not, as you're watching the TV, I was really more listening to what they were saying. So I really wasn't even paying attention to what I'm actually seeing. So I'm listening more than I'm looking. And the next thing you know, you see the plane come in full view of the camera and it hits the building. And then you hear a boom, and then you hear the announcers go, oh my God. And it was at that moment, like we realized, like, this is not an accident. Somebody deliberately flew this plane into this building. And so now panic is crazy now at this point. So now they're scrambling, the news is happening and everything like that. And so I'm like, I couldn't believe it. So I'm standing. So me and Juan, we're talking and we're like in disbelief on the phone. And that was the thing, because I think his TV was just a little bit ahead of mine. He yelled, he was like, oh shit, like that. And I was like, what? And then I saw it hit maybe like 2 seconds later. And so I'm like, okay, I get off the phone with him. I go to work. And I'll never forget, before I went to work, there was a Best Buy across the street from my job. And I went to the Best Buy because the Jay-Z CD had come out that day, Blueprint. So I bought the Blueprint. And so in Best Buy, they've got all these TVs up, right? Got the TVs up and they're showing, you know, so both towers are smoking. And as I'm purchasing the CD, I'm getting ready to walk out. And I mean, again, there's people, there's not really a lot of people shopping. I mean, there's a couple of guys in there like me who's getting a Jay-Z CD. But we all got our eyes on the TVs and they're on this cover. This news coverage is on every single TV in Best Buy. And as I'm getting ready to walk out, the tower collapsed. That's crazy. Like you, it looked like something out of a movie. And then we're getting reports about other planes being hijacked and a threat on the White House. And like it, that day, to say that you'll never forget it. I mean, like everything changed after that day. The world as we knew it up until that point, not the same. And to be honest, it has not been the same. Because a lot of stuff happened subsequently after 9/11. I'll say this much. Like, I remember distinctly, like, later that afternoon, because another thing that happened was because plane crashed in Pennsylvania. The plane crashed at the penthouse. Excuse me, not penthouse, Pentagon, I'm sorry. Because that happened, they grounded all of the flights. So you couldn't fly anywhere. And if you were in the air, like they wanted to make sure that you came down when you were supposed to come down. So, you know, where I live in Atlanta, at some point during the day, the planes sometimes are rerouted. So the planes that fly into Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, they fly above my house. And I mean, they're way above, so you can't, you know, you're not bothered by any noise, but you see airplanes. And that was the one day that I remember going outside and there was not one plane in the sky. And it was crazy. It's like, wow, like this. And it was mind boggling. We didn't even stay at work that day. I mean, by the time I got to the, I think I may have sat in the office for maybe 10 minutes and it was like, go home. So I left there, went and picked Deanna from school, and I just came home and sat and just watched the news. And then at some point later that day, you just had to kind of turn off the news because it was just like, it was way too heavy. It's way too heavy. But yeah, that 9/11, you'll never forget it. Never forget it. What else? Oh, of course. November 4th, 2008. Where were you? I know where I was. I was sitting right in front of my TV watching CNN as they announced that a new president-elect was being announced. Barack Hussein Obama won the nomination to become the 44th president of the United States of America. You know, there's a lot of cool things that have happened in this lifetime. That was pretty cool. And the reason why I say that is because, like, for someone my age and particularly those who are older than me, I distinctly remember even as a kid, old folks would always tell us, you could be anything you want to be. You can be anything you want to be. You could be anything you want to be. And the reality was, as a little black kid, a little black boy growing up in Florence, South Carolina, that was true, but I knew one thing that I couldn't be, and that was president of the United States, not of these United States. Because I didn't think I'd ever see the day that this country would elect a black man to lead the free world. And I'll be honest, I didn't know who Barack Obama was. I'd never even heard of this guy before he ran. When he announced his campaign that he was running in 2008, I was like, okay, who is this guy? He wasn't anybody that was on my political radar. I thought it'd be, you know, Hillary Clinton. That's who I thought would be the shoe-in for the nomination. But no, Barack Hussein Obama came out of seemingly nowhere. And he was elected to become the 44th president of this country. I can't tell you the level of pride and the level of joy that we had because I voted for him twice. And, you know, I think more than anything else, I got the enjoyment and the love and the gratitude from the older generation. People like, you know, my elders who went through so much, you know, for us to get to that point. And to see that, you know, for like my wife's grandmother, who I called, you know, grandma, because my maternal grandmother had passed, my paternal grandmother, she was still alive. But even someone like her being able to see Barack Obama, you know, be elected, a black man, it was amazing. It was amazing. And I will never forget when that thing, when it popped up on the screen, I mean, like, we just yelled and we jumped up and down like we won the championship. that's special. And, you know, it's funny because, like, I was telling people, like, for a while, particularly like his years in office, you know, my kids who were growing up at the time, that's all they knew. They had only known a black president, you know, so it was a pretty cool thing. Pretty cool thing. And it felt good to say finally that, yeah, I could look at my sons and say, hey, you can be anything you want to be. You can even be president, because, you know, Barack Obama made that come true. Let me see. What else? Speaking of Barack, May 2011. Navy SEALs from the United States invade Pakistan and kill Osama bin Laden. Listen, prior to 9/11, I had never even heard of bin Laden. I wasn't up on all of the foreign, you know, the foreign threats and stuff like that. I'd never heard of Al Qaeda. He was an Islamic leader who was the leader of Al Qaeda. But they found him. They had been, I guess, looking for him for 10 plus years. And under the leadership of President Obama, Navy SEALs snuck into Pakistan. They found him in some little trap house and they smoked him. And that, while I don't think you can or should celebrate someone's death, we did celebrate. As the kids would say, we had a Osama bin Laden pack that night. But it was good. It was good. Again, I stopped short of celebrating someone's death, but, you know, bin Laden had to go. And I was glad that they finally got rid of him. What else? We take it to sports. 2017, February of 2017, the Atlanta Falcons let Nas down. You know the story. Many of you were probably rooting for the Falcons to beat the Patriots, just like I was. And the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl, in the biggest game of the year in Houston, Texas, NRG Stadium, the Falcons had a 28-3 lead with just 17 minutes left in the game. And they let Nas down. They would go on to blunder their way into letting Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, coached by Bill Belichick, come back from a 28-3 deficit to win the game 34-28 in overtime. And the Falcons let Nas down. It was tremendous. I mean, like, and what was interesting was, I distinctly remember the guy from the Falcons got a pick six of Brady. It's rare for you to see anybody get a pick six on Brady, meaning that he got the interception and took it back for a touchdown. And the Patriots were playing probably about as bad as they could be playing, considering that they were the favorites to win the Super Bowl. The Falcons had a tremendous year. Their quarterback, Matt Ryan, had won the MVP, and they led the league in scoring. And, you know, so they're putting up these points. And I just, you know, Cameron, our middle son, he was just jumping up and down and hollering and everything. And I distinctly remember telling him, this game ain't over. I told him straight up and down. I said, man, this game is not over. Because here's the thing. Having played football myself, I played from Little League through college at South Carolina State University. I understand that the game is never over. I had a similar situation in a game where we had a 31-6 lead. And we ended up winning the game like 34-31. So it was something crazy like that. Like, we almost blew the game. And so what happens is when teams get momentum, that momentum just builds. And a lot of times what happens with teams is, and this is what happened to the Falcons, you stop playing to win and you start just playing the game. And you can't just play the game. You have to play to win. You can't just play. And you start doing a lot of looking up at the scoreboard. You're looking up at the scoreboard. Guess what? That clock don't move any faster. But the Falcons let Nas down. And they let you down, too. And they let everybody down. And so, you know, it is the most tremendous comeback I've ever seen in my life. And you got to tip your cap to Brady. Tom Brady cemented his legacy that day. I mean, he was already a great quarterback, but he cemented himself as one of the greatest football players of all time. And you can make the case, I think it's safe to say he's the GOAT of quarterbacks. I wouldn't say he's the greatest football player of all time, but he's definitely the quarterback GOAT. And that's saying a lot coming from me because I held Joe Montana at that standard. But yeah, the Falcons let Nas down. Let's see, one more. Obviously, the pandemic, COVID-19, it was something that the start of the pandemic really surprised everybody. I remember just sitting around with my friends, you know, we kind of joked about it, you know, because here's the thing, like, none of us thought that the pandemic was going to be that because here's the thing. We'd had bird flu. We had swine flu. We'd had these other little pandemics. Nobody thought that this thing was going to stick around or be what it became. And, you know, it when it, quote unquote, got to the United States, I mean, it spread like wildfire. And, you know, it's one of those things where, and I mentioned this on the episode about COVID. It's one of those things that you'll definitely tell your kids, your grandkids, anybody that didn't live through it. And I encourage people at the time to, you know, document it, because if you didn't document it, nobody's going to believe you. I mean, I remember being at work and they told us, it was like, hey, go home. I was like, what? It was like, we got to go home. It's like, take your stuff, take all your personal belongings. We're going to be at home, working from home until this is over. And I remember asking my supervisor, I was like, well, when do you think this is over? She was like, nobody knows. And nobody knew. And I mean, like, I have a theory that honestly, if we had gone home and we had sat our asses down and stayed in the house, in a month's time, I think now we still would have lost people to COVID, but it wouldn't have spread the way that it did. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, so many people lost their lives, lost their livelihoods. I think it just because it got to a point where people were just adamant about being outside and being and getting back to the way it was. It'll never be what it was. Even now, we're on the other side of COVID, but the world as we know it, I mean, like, you know, in the Bible, it's BC and AD, BC before Christ, AD after Christ, BC before COVID, AC after COVID. That's what it is. I mean, like, we'll never get, however you were living in 2019, you're never getting that back. Not like that. Not in that same format. No, it's not. It's never happening. It's not happening. And, you know, you have to be okay with that. But yeah, I mean, like, in conclusion, I wanted to get on here and just kind of ask the question, where were you when these things happened? We all had significant things happen in life. If you live long enough, you'll see some things. I tell my kids that all the time. Like, if you live long enough, you'll see. And, you know, the beauty about, you know, the pandemic, and now granted, they didn't live through all of these things, but they lived through the pandemic and they'll have a story to tell their kids and their grandkids about it. You know, because I'll be long gone, but this podcast will be here, so they can always push play and listen to their great great grandfather talk about the Falcons letting Nas down, talking about Barack Obama, so forth and so on. But I think those historical events, you know, they help mold us, they help give us an idea as to what life is, hopefully they helped us appreciate life, because, you know, in some of these stories, life was lost, property was lost. But more than anything else, I think what you take from those events is that you learn to put one foot in front of the other. And, you know, there's, like I said, there's plenty of other historical events I could have used. But I wanted to just share with you guys just a few, because we saw a lot of things. I mean, I didn't even talk about the deaths of Biggie and Tupac and where I was when that happened, because we all remember that. It just reminds you just how precious life is and just to enjoy it. And when good things happen, you celebrate it. When bad things happen, you know, you take note and you try to move forward from it, because ultimately, you know, we've only got one of these things called life to live. So we might as well enjoy it while we're here, right? That's going to do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking out this edition of the 12 Kyle Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. The podcast drops every Thursday at midnight. From time to time, we drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. Now, if you're on social media, follow us. Twitter X, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. The podcast has its own TikTok page. You can find me, 12 Kyle. I'm across on all of those platforms, as well as the podcast at 12 Kyle Podcast. Again, make sure that you download, subscribe. The podcast is on YouTube as well. We got a YouTube channel, so you can go there. There's video and audio content for every episode that we drop. If you feel so inclined, hit us up and send us a couple of dollars. On Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Be sure to go to the link tree. Our link tree has a link to merch. If you want some 12 Kyle Podcast merch, you can get it on our link tree. Just hit the link and you can get yourself a t-shirt, hoodie, or a mug, or a poster, whatever. We appreciate your support. Again, that's going to do it for me. This is your boy 12 Kyle talking about where were you when it happened. I'll catch you guys next time. 5 G's.